Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry, Caroline Fenton, and for Chase McCabe today. Joining us now, Predators radio analyst Hal Gill. Hal, Preds give up 3 goals in the third period. What went wrong late in the game?
I know. It's so devastating. First of all, the game started. They go down 2, and I said, oh, no, this is going to be a long game. The dad's trip, they're all there, and they're going to take one on the chin. But they turned it around, got back in the game, and I thought the momentum was going their way. And then, boom, 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 it was quick. The Preds just – I feel like Tampa Bay is such a good team at striking. When they get a chance, they make it work. You know, they might not get a ton of chances, but when they get something – They convert, and it's a tough team to play against because of that. They have that patient mentality. Well, they wait for their chances. When they get them, they bury them. So a tough one for the Preds, but, I think they had some good things going that game. 5-on-5, I thought it was a pretty good game.
So, Hal, I want to throw this at you because there's a lot of hockey coming up here. And they're going to be playing it probably realistically up until Christmas. If they got Ryan McDonagh back before the Christmas break, anything there would be a bonus. It's going to be right around there, maybe after. And so they've got a bunch of games. Last night was the first game we saw without Ryan McDonagh. You saw what he meant to Tampa, the great salute that he got down there, rightfully so. But yeah. What did you see last night in his absence? Can they get through this period and have success?
How cool is that?
It was awesome.
You know, a great video on the Jumbotron, and to have him there with his busted up face. He's an absolute warrior. And just talking around the rink, everyone, we knew what we were getting, but it's nice to see how loved he is in that city and for that team. So, it's a tough loss. The thing is how do you replace that? I think a lot of things he does there just because he's smart. He reads the play well, anticipates. Obviously, he blocking shots, penalty kills, but just playing, knowing how to play against elite players. I think that's the hardest thing as a young defenseman. You know, you look at Fabro and Gross, Lazon, Carrier. These are young guys that are still trying to figure out how to play against the best players in the NHL. And when you take McDonagh out, if you're playing against third or fourth lines, I like those guys. They have an offensive upside, and they can play. And certainly Jordan Gross has that offensive upside, and, they need that. Carrier scoring last night was huge. They need those goals from the back end. But defensively, once you start playing top six forwards, younger guys can get exposed. And so I think this is going to be a challenging segment where you don't have McDonagh there, and you're going to need guys to step up, and maybe it's a good time for it to happen. Right before Christmas, you're going to find out what these players are about. Fabro is going to have to step up, or Gross is going to have to step up. I do feel like Ekholm and Carrier, they're kind of solidified. That's a deep pairing that you can count on. Willie, their numbers have been fantastic, and I thought Ekholm had one of his best games. It was relentless gap last night, and Carrier, of course, scoring a goal and maybe get some confidence and drives off that. But this is going to be a tough stretch without McDonagh.
They've got Ottawa tomorrow, and I know probably among the 32 teams, I would say probably in our circles, I know I can speak for myself, I probably pay less attention to Ottawa than just about every team, just because they're in the East. You don't see them very often. But I do know that they've got some really good young talent. They're dangerous on particular nights. I want to ask you about Brady Tkachuk. You had a lot of battles over the course of your career against his dad, and Keith Tkachuk, who was just an outstanding player. But Brady Tkachuk's got that same edge to his game. I've noticed a bunch of times he's fighting. He's scoring big goals in front of the net. He's a captain now at a young age. So that's a guy I'm watching tomorrow.
Yeah, he's... Well, first of all, talking about Keith Tkachuk, old, big Walt, remember the first time I played against him, I lifted his stick in front of the net. He slashed me across the wrist. I was like,
thank you.
What do I do with that? You know, I pushed him back, cross-checked me in the back. And, you know, like, everything I did to him, he did twice as hard and back to me. And, you know, I was a young kid. Like, okay, am I going to fight him right now? Are we going to do this? Like, should I do that? Or what should I do here? He played with an edge. And, you know, if he decided he was going to the net, that's what was going to happen. And good luck trying to stop him. Brady Tkachuk has taken that, and I think he's added a level of skill to it. It's been impressive watching him. He's got the leadership mentality where he's going to do whatever it takes for the team. He's going to crash the net. He's going to fight. He plays with a kind of a passion that, you know, it's hard to find guys that play like that, that can mix that power game with a skill game. And he's got some young players around him. A guy like Claude Giroux comes in from Philly via Florida, but he gets there, and he's going to learn a lot from him. DeBrincat comes over. We know what DeBrincat can do from Chicago. He can score goals. A young Tim Stützle is one of the most talented forwards you'll see. So they have some talent. Don't forget Shabbat on the back end. I know we've had some fun games watching him. He's stood out every time we played against Ottawa. So they have a good group of young talent, and I think Tkachuk is the leader of that young group. And so there's some excitement there. They're just not getting the wins yet, but I don't see that team as a team you look past, because basically they're a young team trying to grow, and they got nothing to lose. They're just going to go out and let it rip, and that can be dangerous. So if you try to look past these guys, I think that's a team that can embarrass you pretty quick.
No question about it. And just a sidebar, it was the dad's trip for the Predators. And how often – so Keith Tkachuk will be in the house tomorrow, because it seems like every time – the Predators were the first team ever to do the dad's trip. Now everybody does it. Mm. But now everybody has their dads come to Nashville, it seems like. There's got to be at least – it's like Vanderbilt's always the homemcoming team.
It's almost as if the dads picked that themselves.
Yeah, it's like, exactly. Like to go to Nashville.
Interesting,
yeah, so,
how the dad's trip always in Vegas or Nashville.
So watch out tonight. Watch out tonight. You're going to see Senators' dads all over downtown tonight, including Keith Tkachuk, who knows how to work that. Hal, before I let you go, I want to ask you one other thing. We've obviously been – dissecting this whole John Robinson move. Your good friend, Steve Hutchison, who's got great perspective, he threw out a tweet there, and he was just talking about the dynamic of covering a team and how it's sort of evolving. And sometimes, as a player, you just realize that you know so much more than the outsiders know, right? That's how it should be. You have an inner sanctum, and if you're a good team, you're not going to let stuff like that out. But I'm just curious, the different markets you played in. You played in Boston. You played in Montreal. You played in Toronto, where it was hard. As hard as you might have tried, it was hard to keep a lot of information under wraps. But our market is a little bit different, and the way teams are covered are different.
Yes. Yeah. You know what? It's funny. I saw when Hutch tweeted that out. It's funny because a lot of the stuff, as a player, you don't even know that you know it, or that it's valuable information. It's just what it is, you know? Like, there might be guys fighting in the locker room that no one knows about, but it's just like, well, yeah, they fight all the time, you know? And a media would love to jump on that. Oh, my God, there was a fight in the locker room. We got to talk about this. But it just happens, and you, as a player, you just kind of move on. And so coaches have rifts with GMs, and players know about it, and they say, "Oh, we'll work it out." You know, I mean, that's just another day at the office. So it's interesting when you look at different markets. You know, Montreal, somehow people would find out because they're just relentless, and you have the French media and like English media. Everyone is fighting for a story, fighting. So they'll go in, they'll talk to anyone they can find. You know. The guy driving the Zamboni, did you see anything? Like, did you see anything in practice? It was closed practice. Did you see anything? So there's a lot of people digging, but in order to get the real story, you have to be on the team. You have to be in the locker room. You have to be in those meetings. And so I think the fun part about being as a player is that a lot of times it really doesn't matter to you. You know it, but it doesn't matter. You know, okay, this guy got fired. Someone, heads are going to roll. There's going to be trades. There's going to be something that happens. And that might be every day for a full season, and you just kind of roll through it. So, you know, there's two sides to every story, and then there's the real story. But a lot of times, no one really even knows it.
Hal Gill is with us, Predators radio analyst. Hal, the Preds have a grind over the next couple of weeks. 8 games in 15 days, but kind of looking back at last night's game, Saros with an .844 save percentage. I fear that when Saros isn't electric, when he's not elite, that the Predators, this Predators team doesn't really have a chance. And especially looking into this long stretch of the next couple of weeks, it's going to be tough. They're going to have to lean on their goaltending. But if Saros isn't elite, this team is going to struggle to win games.
Well, hey, they just went through New Jersey and Long Island, two pretty good teams, and the goalies were fantastic. And I think the team has played so much more better defense. They're giving up more shots, but defending better. I don't think they're giving the backdoor plays. Now, Tampa, you know, they got a breakaway from point. You know, they shouldn't have let that happen, and you can't put that on Saros. But I do think in that third period, you know, that Nick Paul goal coming down the wing, they shouldn't have given up that chance. It was a bad change and bad puck management. They shouldn't have given that up. But Juice should stop that. That's something that he should stop. And he knows that. But he is human. Believe it or not, some of these hockey players are human. So you have to give them you cut them some slack a little bit. But I think Lankinen and Juice have been fantastic. And don't forget, it's been hard. I'm out of sorts. I'm just calling the games, and I'm like, okay, we're off for 5 days. We're taking okay. Now we're off for 6 days. Now we got a back to back. Like, there's a lot going on. I think once this team gets into a rhythm, it's going to be a lot easier. Right now it's so choppy. You had the Thanksgiving break. You come back. You have all the dads are in town for the dads trip, and you have more time off. It's just kind of a sloppy schedule right now. So I think with all the rest that they've had, they're going to go on a tear here. They're going to have a lot of games. And I think getting into a rhythm is going to help this team. So we'll wait and see how that plays out. But I think they need that consistency in their schedule because I know it's rattling me.
And Hal, you just don't get rattled very often. I mean, you're rattled. I mean, man, we got problems.
Hal Gill, steady hand.
This is usually a steady hand.
All right, Hal, we appreciate you. We'll chat with you next week.
I need a nap. I need a nap every day. I need, you know, I'm very methodical with my schedule. And if you play around with that, then I suffer from that. So you know that, Willie.
Yes, I do. You got some pool time yesterday, though. That was good. That was good for you. I feel like that's going to help you.
A little vitamin D is going to pump me up. I'm going to get fired up because we haven't had much of that.
No, very scarce.
Hal Gill, Predators radio analyst. We appreciate you, Hal.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Hal. All right. Coming up next, at the beginning of the show, we were referencing some of the potential friction between Mike Vrabel and John Robinson. If Mike Vrabel had something to do with this entire situation, what did he have to gain from it? I want to get into that coming up next. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And hey, tune in for the NFL pregame show this Sunday live from Sunny's Patio Pub and Refuge located at 1322 6th Avenue North in Germantown. Join Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders and D-Mace from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You're qualified enough to be one of the head coaches in the league that not only runs the coaching side of the team, but also picks the players and runs the personnel department?
Yeah, I'm qualified to try to put a plan in place with our players this week. That's where my focus is. And I'm not going to think about what may or may not happen, what involvement I would have in, you know, whoever they choose to hire. My focus is on the football team, and again, today has been great to get these guys in here to have a conversation and then begin our preparation.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel at the podium earlier this week in the first press conference after John Robinson was fired. Jared asked a fair question. Do you think that you are qualified to handle personnel if need be? Because it can only be assumed that John Robinson out, Ryan Cowden steps in an interim GM role, that Mike Vrabel will play a larger role in player selection, in personnel, in GM duties. Are you qualified to do that? Mike Vrabel doesn't say no. He doesn't say yes, which is just a classic Vrabel move. It's just a, hey, I'm qualified to put a plan in place. But it's interesting because he doesn't say no.
Why would he say no?
He doesn't say yes either.
Yeah, I mean, I would not if, you know, if...
Because if he did, it's fine if he says no, because not very many coaches are.
Well, if you aspire to one day have that power, you're not going to say, I'm not qualified. You're going to say, listen, basically what he was saying, I'm the head coach right now. I'm qualified to put together a game plan for my team to win.
Which is true. That's his job.
You know, that's his job. And he answered the question correctly. But if you have aspirations on being more than that, then you're not going to give a question that makes you seem you wouldn't be qualified if indeed that opportunity came, you know, within the next 2 months or month.
And it's another example of him during that press conference. He's thrown to the wolves because Amy Adams Strunk is not going to answer any questions. So regardless of the reasoning, he's got to answer that. He's desperately trying to put the focus on the next game and try to keep it on the rails. That's a perfectly legitimate question to ask.
Yeah, it's fair.
Because of the timing of what happened. It happens right in the middle of the season.
And you can only assume that he will play a larger role
in personnel. I had a little problem with his answer on you guys didn't discuss. Like, it was asked two or three different ways. Who handles the decisions now? If it comes down to a decision, who makes the final decision? That is a totally legitimate question when you fire the GM. And he said, we haven't really started that process yet. I find that very hard to believe. They had this discussion when it goes down on Tuesday. We're making a change. He talked to Amy Adams Strunk. There has to be a plan of attack. Here's how we're going to go about it from here. Telling me they didn't talk about that on Tuesday? On Wednesday at the press conference, we haven't gotten into that procedure part of it yet. Come on.
He said Amy has final say. Amy has final say over a practice squad linebacker that you need to sign in December?
No.
Well, no. No, 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 no. Did y'all hear? Amy specifically said, basically, that I wasn't aware of all conversations. Not moves that she made, that they made, conversations. So if I wasn't aware of all the conversations that are made and I just fired this guy because of that, what do you think the next guy is going to say? Hey, listen, she's making all the decisions, not us. The last person, the last line of defense is Miss Amy. That's it. She makes all decisions. We can talk about it. We're going to discuss it. But ultimately, it's her decision, which means we're going to take all conversations. Everything that happens, I am not going to go to the bathroom without telling Miss Amy. I'm telling her everything.
I just don't believe that.
Right. The actions don't suggest that. Okay, this team, we know it because we see it every day on our email. Every day. Two guys signed off the practice squad. Two guys put on the practice squad. Two guys signed off of other guys' practice squads. Two guys activated to the 53-man roster.
She doesn't need to know about that.
But she's okaying every single one of those moves.
You're right. She wasn't aware of that before. She wants to be aware of it moving forward. That's why she fires John Robinson, because he was not making her aware of the things that were going on with her football team. Moving forward, that's why Mike Vrabel says she's making all the decisions. Like, I got to run it to her.
And that's
because
stupid.
Maybe John wasn't doing
it. There's just no way.
I'm not buying it.
She is not Jerry Jones. She is not the kind of owner that needs to know when players go
back. But we don't know that. We only know what she tells us and what the team allows us to know. We don't know if she's on the phone with them every day. Okay, what transactions are y'all thinking about making today?
Right. It's a perception.
We only see what they allow us to see.
And I think he was trying to be very respectful of her authority.
Exactly. Because he don't want to end up in the same situation.
Exactly. He has to have a strong relationship with her to be successful. And so he's going to say things like that. He wants to make it known that we're on the same page. Mm-hmm. She's supporting me. How many times did he say that? That was his pivot answer, everything. We feel supported. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think John Robinson feels supported today. He might have felt supported last week. He doesn't feel supported today. But Mike Vrabel and his staff all feel like they get the support because you have to play that. You have to play that if you're the owner. You got to have a strong, you got to work that. Part of it is your public stance. So if you're going to act like she's making the personnel decisions, I don't buy that at all.
Not for a single second.
But you've got to have the perception. She has to have the perception that she's the one in charge. And that's absolutely true. She is in charge.
She is.
But you have to. She's obviously delegating the personnel decisions. She's not okaying if Ola Adini is activated off the practice squad. She's not in the loop on that.
But
nor should she be. It doesn't really matter whether she's or not.
No, you can't say she shouldn't be. It's her team. If she wants to be, she can.
I know, but she hasn't been like that.
We don't know. We don't. Hey, Willie, I'm just saying, we do not know.
But the other thing is she was in the room when the A.J. Brown. So she didn't say, hold on, I'm the owner here. We're not trading A.J. Brown.
She said every conversation. She never said every transaction.
She didn't say that. She didn't say that. Adam Schefter said
that.
Yes, every conversation. Basically, that's coming out of that build. I want to be aware of everything that is coming out. Everything that y'all are going to do with my team, it's not this thing that we cannot assume. Oh, let's not assume that Miss Amy wants to know everything. That's not owners. Owners don't operate like that. Well, she's different. She may be different. She may want to know everything that's going on in that building with her team. We can't be mad at her about that.
I'm not mad at her about that. I just don't believe it.
Have we seen that, you know, with other owners outside of Jerry Jones and Irsay and maybe one other? No, we haven't. So we always think that, you know, if you're not Jerry Jones, you're not Irsay, you're not one of these other owners, then you allow the people that you've hired to do their job. Miss Amy probably wasn't that way, or she probably thought like, okay, I'm really pissed off now because all of these moves that were made and things that were done, now I've come to a breaking point now. Like, why didn't y'all tell me about all these conversations that y'all were having with AJ's agent? Why wasn't I made aware of all these things? Why wasn't I made aware that somebody said that we may not have enough money for Jeffrey Simmons? Why wasn't I made aware of that? If I am an owner of a company, I should... It may not be customary, but you can't tell me where she don't need to know every answer. It's her team. My house, I need to know everything that goes on in my house. Regardless, if you feel it, I shouldn't. And I, just like my parents, you know, growing up, they wanted to know basically everything that was going on in the house, my dad wanted to know. And if he didn't know and he found out about it, it was going to be hell to pay.
I get that.
You know,
and it's making the assumption that she wasn't aware of all the conversations with A.J. Brown's agent. It's making the assumption that she wasn't aware of the conversations with Jeffrey Simmons' agent.
But see, that's what we can do because there hasn't been any.
Which is true.
Exactly. There hasn't been any. The questions haven't been asked, Caroline, so we can assume all this stuff.
But I have a theory about what Mike Vrabel's role will be moving forward. Hmm. Do we think he can do it? We'll get into that coming up next. Plus, of course, your phone calls. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. It's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. 1025-1063 The Game.
Attention, people. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something. As soon as I pull it up, I thought it is. I'm sorry, people. No, I'm going to tell you about my good friends at Cool Springs MD. Over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife Daphne, along with that experienced staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. You're asking one person that went, and my quality of life has been a lot better. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of the Brentwood, Nashville, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune systems, energy levels, cognitive functions, and more. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. And there's no better time now to achieve a healthy lifestyle. So, man, what are you waiting on? Do what I did. Make an appointment. Here's the number. 615-486-3458. 615-486-3458. Or if it's not on your telephone, you're not near your telephone, go to your computer. And here's the website, at coolspringsmd.com.
That's fine to say on the roster between you and Ryan.
I mean, I think ultimately Amy does. I would say that you know, we're just trying right now to work forward to see where we're at with the guys to finish the season. You know, we've signed guys, we've brought guys in, we've signed John Reed, Terrell Basham before that. I don't see that as being something that's even, you know, any sort of issue. You know, I mean, we're trying to find some guys out there that may help us going down a stretch.
If there was an issue, though, that you and Ryan disagreed upon, whose decision would be the decision that ends up being made by the club?
I would imagine that Amy, the person that makes every that would have the final say in every decision if we disagreed, and that's where we would leave it at.
Just like Amy makes in every decision. Between me and Ryan Cowden, Mike Vrabel, Ryan Cowden, yeah, Amy would have final say. I would love to know how many times through transactions, as minimal as they may be, mm-hmm. when Amy Adams Strunk has had final say. In big moves like trading A.J. Brown. I get it. I understand. You consult the owner for that. But Terrell Basham, no offense to Terrell Basham, I don't know who that is. Mm-hmm. I don't know what role he's going to play for this football team. And I don't know how much input Amy Adams Strunk really wants or needs on transactions like that. So I look at Mike Vrabel's press conference, and I don't blame him because there were a lot of questions thrown at him that probably weren't his to answer, mm-hmm. but he was the only one up there to answer those questions. There were a lot of questions asked for Amy Adams Strunk. I felt like a lot of times he would defer to, one, Amy, using Amy as kind of a crutch, mm-hmm. or moving on to Jacksonville. I'm focused on Jacksonville, and I don't blame him. But I do wonder if that is one of those questions of, between Ryan Cowden and Mike Vrabel, who has final say? Oh, Amy does.
Well,
when in reality, Mike Vrabel might have final say, and he doesn't want to come out and say it.
That's an interesting one. He said right at the end there, if you listen to it, he goes, if we disagreed. Like, if Ryan mm-hmm. Cowden and Mike Vrabel see eye to eye on it, probably not an issue. But I guess Jared's hypothetical there is, like, if there's a disagreement, mm-hmm. who has the final say? That's a legit question. And he says, Amy. So I'm to believe that two football people mm-hmm. go to Amy Adams Strunk and say, okay, we disagree. Is it going to be this guy or that guy or whatever it is? Who do you think she's going to listen to? Like, she is not a football person. This is what I always say about, like, Jerry Jones. He Jerry Jones imagines himself, even though he's the owner, as the GM. And he's made a ton of mistakes mm-hmm. over the years because he's really, at the end of the day, he's a rich owner. He's not a real GM. But he can be the GM because he's the owner. I don't think Amy Adams has ever pretended to be a football talent evaluator. So why would she be wanting to make that decision? So what do you have to do if you're her? Who do I believe? Mm-hmm. Do I believe Mike Vrabel or do I believe Ryan Cowden? Who the heck knows Ryan Cowden? She's going to listen to Mike Vrabel.
Yes, because right? I think what it boils down to is a track record. She likes Mike Vrabel's track record a lot better than anybody else's. Obviously, Mike's still there. But even with that, it's my team, and it's just like anything. I'm gonna go back to what Adam said. You know, you're in a relationship, and you know, things just after a while, you bring home a vacuum cleaner for Christmas or a birthday, and she's looking at you like, did you just really, after all this stuff you've done, you really brought me a vacuum cleaner home? Seriously? All right, don't worry about it. See you later. That's probably Amy's sort of, and I'm making it simplistic here, that was probably Amy's approach. Like, listen, all this stuff that went on with this team, from bad draft picks to bad free agents, okay? And now I'm peeved. I'm it's simmering in me. I'm upset. Not necessarily to a point where I want to fire you now, but I'm upset and I'm irritated with you. Just about everything that you do, I'm irritated with you. Then it comes to find out, well, there were some things going on with AJ and then the comment that Jeffrey Simmons made about not enough money. Now all of a sudden, everything that you do just irritates me. Everything. Oh, after the Philadelphia game, we got our ass kicked. You're fired. I'm done with it. Because you've irritated me to a point to where now I am not pleased with how you conduct yourself as a GM. I don't know if it's just speculation here, pure speculation. But it gets to a point, again, the timing was bad in a sense that It must have gotten to a point where she felt she needed to fire him with 5 games left in the season. So something happened. Something more than just an AJ or, you know, something else. It was a buildup. And then one thing irritated her enough that she came into that office or she made that call and said, listen, we got to part ways. It could have been just as simple as that. We need to part ways because I don't want to. I know I just signed. And then y'all got to look at this. I know I just signed you to a 5-year extension somewhere around there. I don't want to go into my new stadium being stuck in the same place. I don't. So I need to make this change now. It may not be the best timing, but we need to make it now.
I mean, she's a businesswoman.
Exactly.
She made a business decision. But now somebody has to fill that role.
Yeah.
And Mike Vrabel is going to play a larger role, but can he do it? Mm-hmm. And Tim Hasselbeck spoke on that yesterday on Chase Wheeler and D-Mace. This was Tim Hasselbeck yesterday.
We got the intern back there. What's going on?
Mike Vrabel, where do I think they go? I think Mike Vrabel assumes the power. And look, I can't say that I necessarily think that that is a bad thing. Like, there's nothing about seeing Mike Vrabel as the head coach where I feel like he's been overwhelmed. And so, you know, I think sometimes you look at, you know, head coaches that maybe have personnel control and you think, you know, honestly, like, the guy already has enough on his plate. I think Mike Vrabel's been doing this long enough. I think he's been around the game long enough. I think he's seen a variety of positions that, and he can, you know, surround himself with scouts that he trusts. That, like, I think the direction they go from here is that I think Mike Vrabel has the ultimate control on it. And is that a good thing? Like, I wouldn't have made the move to fire John Robinson. I think he's actually done a pretty good job. Like, nobody's perfect in terms of choosing personnel. I think he's done a good job. And I guess all I would say is, like, I think Mike Vrabel could do a good job.
Okay, again, that was Tim Hasselbeck on Chase Wheeler and D-Mace yesterday. He says he thinks Vrabel takes over control. So now, and this was just, you know, a prediction, speculation from Tim Hasselbeck, but let's operate under that being true. Because Vrabel was asked a lot about personnel, about, you know, having more GM-esque duties, and he never really addressed them head-on. So let's say Vrabel is going to take on a Bill Belichick role that he's, you know, he's GM and he's head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Can he do that?
Caroline, I don't know. It's a lot. I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, Mike's not qualified to do it. Because obviously, you know, he's been in the rooms with John, and I'm pretty sure they went over contracts and scenarios and talent, you know, for hours and hours and hours. So he probably has a good grasp of how to maneuver through in that lane, mm-hmm, of being a GM. But it's hard. It has to be hard when you have to not only, you know, equip your team each week and make sure that they're, you know, in a position to win, game plan and everything else, and then not to mention, you know, different personalities in that room that you got to deal with here and there. Not only do you have to do that, but now I got to evaluate guys that are not even on my team for next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, college guys and everything else. That's just a lot for a GM to do. Balancing game day rosters, balancing game plans, balancing personalities in the locker room. And, oh, by the way, I got to balance all the jobs that a GM does as well. That has to be a lot. I'm not saying he can't do it, but, man, oh, man, we haven't had a bunch of successful examples of a guy being GM and head coach.
I mean, and to your point, you know, yeah, he can handle game day plans.
Exactly.
And Tim Hasselbeck in that clip said, I haven't seen him be overwhelmed as a head coach. Which I would agree. I mean, that's his job, and he does it very well. He's a very good coach. But you add on a completely new hat, and that's overwhelming. And to your point, D-Mace, we see Bill Belichick does it.
Mm-hmm.
But how successful have the Patriots been since Tom Brady left? Mm-hmm. I mean, they hit a cash cow in Tom Brady. Look at Pete Carroll and Andy Reid. And look at John Gruden. How did that work out for him with the Raiders? Trying to play the GM role and the head coach role. He's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Andy Reid, Pete Carroll, they are other coaches that have played kind of both roles, but those are also coaches that have been in the league for a very long time.
But I think it works for the short term, but I don't think it works for the long term.
That's an interesting point. I hadn't thought about that, but I think you're right.
It could work, but for the long term, unless you're trying to exit out of being a head coach into the GM role, mm-hmm. But if you're trying to do both for the long period of time, I don't know if it works.
But I don't think that this is something that Vrabel wants to do in the short term.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But I'm, you know, even Andy Reid. I mean, Pete Carroll. Yeah, they won their Super Bowl, but look at their team now.
Yeah.
You know,
better than expected.
Better than expected. But look at John Gruden. This team never really got going.
Mm-hmm.
You know. They had to hire a GM. So, I mean, even though it was his friend, and I'm pretty sure he had a lot of say in what Mike Mayock did. But
and there will be GM roles that are filled by somebody else. Mm-hmm. But is that more so a puppet whose strings are being pulled by the head coach? Or is it a true GM role? Which is what I viewed Mike Vrabel and John Robinson, head coach and general manager. You have your roles. You do your job.
The clout, the power, the leverage. And you should be working with one another. Mm-hmm. Puppet is like a negative term, but I think it can work where you have a quote-unquote GM who's deferring to the head coach, a Belichick kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that GM is doing a lot of work. It's just these are two full-time jobs. That's the thing I think you learn over time, that it might seem like, hey, I can do it both. I can do them both. I can shop for the groceries and cook the meal. But in the reality, it's so much work. You've got to delegate a lot of the duties there. You've got to trust who you're working with, whether that person is below you or above you.
Do you trust Mike Vrabel to take on an extra GM role? We will get into your thoughts, your calls, your texts, your phones coming up next. It's Chase Willie, D-Maze, 1025-1063, The Game.
Do you feel like you had enough involvement in the construction of this roster right now?
My focus is clearly on the Jacksonville Jaguars. It is like, what do we need to do? Who's going to be available to look back and to reflect? My job was to do everything and to support the personnel staff wherever I could, to make sure I coordinated the coaching staff and ultimately get the players prepared. That goes on this week. You know, I mean, this is – you know, again, the timing and the change is never easy. We recognize that. You know, we're looking forward to it. The players had an unbelievable attitude. You know, they're looking forward to getting back into football, you know, after having lost.
Hey, do you feel like you've had enough say in roster construction? Hey, clearly I'm moving on to Jacksonville. Clearly, you know, change is hard. Of course, Mike Vrabel at the podium earlier this week.
I feel like we've heard that somewhere
before.
Dodging
yet another question.
Like, we're on to something.
Yeah, we're on to Cincinnati.
Exactly.
We're on to Cincinnati.
We're on to Jacksonville.
Yeah, we're on to Jacksonville. It's like Mike Vrabel doesn't want to be Bill Belichick so badly, yet he is baby Bill Belichick. We're getting into your phones. Your thoughts on Mike Vrabel's new role now that John Robinson is out. What role did he play in the firing of John Robinson? And now what does Mike Vrabel's new role look like moving forward in terms of roster construction, in terms of personnel, say? But we'll go to your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Allie in Bellevue, Texan, says, now that the position is open for them to hire the best candidate possible, why would Vrabel want to nominate himself if he can help pick someone else? I mean, I'll ask you the question. I mean, if you feel like you haven't had enough power in your job, if you feel like somebody that was making decisions for your team and you didn't trust those decisions, if you didn't like those decisions, wouldn't you want more power?
Yeah, I mean, if that's what you aspire to be as a GM, then you're going to, if that you know, opportunity presents itself, then I'm sure you're going to take it. But I think in this situation, possibly, he doesn't have to necessarily be the GM. Mike doesn't. But if he's helped facilitating who is going to be the GM, if he's in the room with Amy and Ryan and whoever else, if he's one of those guys that are at the table and making decisions, well, hell, he might as well be the GM too, because usually it's the other way around. The GM picks the head coach. We saw that with, you know, with John picking and Mike. We don't see where the head coach helps pick the GM. I don't think that sits too well with GMs, you know, that the head coach has a say in whether you hire me or not, because ultimately it's made to seem as if he has more power than me, that everything that I do has to run through him, and that he really has the last say because he was in the room and he had a big part of me being hired.
Which might be what Mike Vrabel wants.
Exactly. But I don't know if I'm a young guy, a young GM, or a guy aspiring to be a GM, Ryan Callen, if I'm aspiring to be a GM, then that's okay with me. But if I'm a vet at the game and I've been a GM before, that doesn't sit well with me. I don't no. I would rather the owner decide. The owner and that ownership group decide whether I'm GM or not. Not the head coach. Because if he decides whether I'm the GM or not, I am beholden to him now. Just like we say about Mike Mayock and Gruden. Well, Gruden was head coach and that was his friend. He brought him in.
Because he also wanted to be GM too.
Exactly. So he really had all
groceries
the,
and
he had all the power. So if I'm a seasoned GM, why would I even want to step into a situation like that if indeed he has that much say whether I get hired or not?
It's a really interesting dynamic. And again, we go back to the biggest part of the story, the timing. That was downplayed by Mike Vrabel, mm-hmm. and that was his job in that press conference, to try to put the fire out as much as he could, mm-hmm. knowing that it's a gasoline fire, right? This is a massive story. But he said, hey, the timing's never easy. He fell back on that line two or three times. Yeah, the timing's never easy, but this is ridiculous timing to be thrown at this, the questions that are asked him, because they did it during the season. After the season, be a whole other thing. You're planning for next season. You're not playing a game on Sunday. It's a big game against Jacksonville. But I am very curious. Is Ryan Cowden a real candidate? Do they see him as an internal guy? Mike Vrabel has very much identified no-name guys that none of us had ever heard of, Shane Bowen being the centerpiece, that he has elevated into high positions, had faith in, and gotten vindicated for it, right? A lot of people doubted Shane Bowen. Who was Shane Bowen? You know, hey, why aren't they giving him the title? All of that stuff. But Shane Bowen just kept doing it. Mike Vrabel believed in him. They hired him. So I think maybe we don't really know much about Ryan Cowden. Maybe Mike Vrabel thinks he's a special talent evaluator. He's been there for a long time. He's been there for 7 years.
He's brought in with John Robinson.
Absolutely. So maybe he's a guy that they like. But I'll go back to a little history lesson here. Predators get a franchise, expansion franchise, starting from scratch. No employees, just an owner. The first thing that Craig Leopold, the owner, does is hire the president, Jack Diller, who's now retired. And so Jack Diller heads the press conference. There's no staff or anything. There's no players, no coaches. And they're like, well, what's your first hire? Well, he goes, I'm going to hire the GM. They go, what about hiring a coach? And he said, believe me. Because he had been in New York mm-hmm. before. He said, you always hire the GM before you hire the coach. And he said, I've got the scars to prove it. And so he hired David Poyle. Mm-hmm. He let David Poyle hire the coach, which ended up being Barry Trotz, who nobody knew anything about. He was a complete no-name, Barry Trotz. Now he's going to be a Hall of Fame coach, as we know, all these years later. This was 1997. But I do think it'll be interesting if they do a search and bring in a GM who's been a GM on other teams and stuff. What's that dynamic like when the GM comes in and you've got an established coach with a lot of power? That yeah. could be pretty tricky, right? Whereas if it's Ryan Cowden, it's like, hey, Mike Vrabel, I brought Ryan along. You know, he's on board with me. I like what he's doing. I'm a big reason why he's the GM. That's a different power dynamic, isn't it?
I would assume it would have to be somebody from within. Somebody you that knows so? The team. I think so.
You don't think it'll be a nationwide search, so to speak?
I mean, maybe it it will be a nationwide search, but I think ultimately it will be somebody from within, somebody that knows the organization, that knows the role that Mike Vrabel plays now and wants to play further in the future. I think it will be somebody from within.
Well, you got to, yeah, and but you.
So then Cowden would be the favorite then.
Cowden would
say,
be
right?
The favorite.
Monty Austin Ford?
Yeah, Monty Austin Ford. And these are guys that are within the organization. Now, there are some external candidates out there that we can name, but if you want to, I think if you want to do this, but still, if indeed this is the case, but still sort of appease Mike Vrabel and still allow him to have that control that he possibly could want, then what do? You hire from within. Because, again, I don't think anyone from outside, a seasoned GM from outside, would take a job if he knew or she knew that the coach had just as much or even more power than them.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into your calls, your texts on that. But also, TD brought up a very interesting point. We talk a lot about A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, former Titans. But how does this move of John Robinson's firing affect a player that's still with the Titans? We'll get into that coming up next. It's Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. And hey, play Silly Underdog Picks today. Pick three football underdog teams that you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. Play now at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today.